All right. Did you get enough to eat? You're still eating. All right. Hey, thank you for staying after. I promise that we will be as efficient as we can. And Rachel was absolutely correct. This is cutting into my nap time. So I actually hadn't realized that. And when she said it, I'm like, what in the world are we doing? No. Is anyone else taking a nap on Sundays? Anyone? I don't know why, but it's the best day for a nap. All other days are not the same. So, here's the deal. Let me do a couple things to kind of get us started. So, some of you may not be familiar with this, but as an organization, we have what's called a constitution and bylaws that dictates how we operate as an organization. And so there are in a normal year, we do our annual business meeting in March. This year it'll be March 22nd. We do it on a Sunday morning and we call it State of the Church. How many of you have been to that? It's a ton of fun. But occasionally there's a need to make decisions governmentally, and our bylaws dictate how that has to happen. And for the things we're going to talk about today, we had to call a special business meeting to be able to do that. And largely because I wanted to get all of this done before the March meeting, this is what I'm going to tell you, is if you've been to State of the Church before, this year is going to blow all other years away, okay? We have the biggest announcement, the biggest vision, the most exciting stuff coming up, and I'm so excited, but I can't tell you what it is yet, but you'll start hearing soon. But all of this is really a setup to get us ready to be able to do the things we're going to do in March. So there's some things we have to do for this to be official, okay? So we're recording this, and our board are all here, and they're helping. And Mark Howell is our board secretary, so he's taking minutes today. All that's just part of the system. So I'm going to officially call this meeting to order. And why don't we start with prayer? Would that be? That'd be a good thing, right, for a church board, a church business meeting. So, Father, thank you for a great day and for pizza and salad and amazing friends. Lord, we just ask for your help as we have this discussion today. We ask for the wisdom of God. Your word says that if anyone lacks wisdom, we should ask for it, and you'll give it to us. And we've been asking for it every day, but we're asking again. Give us your wisdom as we try to hear your heart for harvest and move your kingdom forward. And it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So we had you sign in currently all of our members have the ability to vote on a couple of things. I'll tell you about that in a second. But we have you sign in because we have to establish what's called a quorum. And so I just checked right before I came in here, and we do have a quorum. We actually have more than a quorum, which is super exciting. Because what that means there's a lot of people that really care about what's happening at Harvest, and that's exciting. I wish I would have said this, but I can't go back. I had some people asking, like, Pastor, we're not a member, we're kind of new here, but can we stay? Yes, absolutely, right? I wish I would have said that earlier, because I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. Are you excited? I feel like you are. I really do. So let me lay this out, okay? Let me show you kind of what we're doing. So right now, our bylaws currently dictate that the members vote on a couple of decisions, four decisions in particular, okay? So right now, if we were to elect the senior pastor, the church at large, the members, would vote on that, okay? That's not what we're doing today, okay? So just take that one off. You can't vote on me, all right? So you know, Lisa and I were elected in this fashion, and we were elected for, I think it was a 3-year term, and then at the 3-year mark, we had to be voted on again, which is super awkward, just so you know. Can you imagine going into work tomorrow, like, all right, everyone gather up, we're going to vote on Nick Martinez, see if we're going to keep him today, you know? So 3 years ago, we were voted to stay the pastors, and the term was turned into an indefinite term, meaning I'm going to have to really mess this up to get kicked out, okay? So that's not anything that we're having to be concerned about today. The second thing that we vote on is on our board, okay? So we have a board of directors. There's 6 men that serve on the board right now. I'm looking so I can try to, I'll point them out. Actually, would you stand if you're on our board? I want people to know you. So this is Frank right here, Mark, Ben, Anthony, Dan, and who are we missing? And Justin, he had a flight this afternoon. That's right. So these are our board. Thank you, guys. Give them a round of applause. So currently, the board is elected annually at State of the Church, and that's how each of these guys have been elected. And there's, in our bylaws, there's a bunch of stuff about qualifications and terms and yada, yada, yada. So right now, that's something that we vote on. The other thing that we vote on is financial decisions specifically related to what's called real property, okay? So if we as a church wanted to buy, sell, or lease any real estate, if we decided we wanted to sell this place, sell Cuesta, buy another place, any of those decisions, we would not have the authority to do that without meeting with you and asking you to vote on it. And so to this point, all of our decisions in that category have been handled in that way. If we wanted to get a loan, we would have to do it. We'd have to vote on it in that way as well. So this is a kind of a big category. And then the final category is amendments to the Constitution and bylaws. Okay, so what that means is, you know, we have this document called Constitution and Bylaws. If we want to change the document, then we have to present the changes to you, and we have to be in agreement by a 2-thirds vote. There's all kinds of stuff in here to change it. What that does, just so you know, all of this, what it really does is it's levels of protection to make sure, you know, that a pastor doesn't go rogue, because that has happened before in places, not here, but it has happened, right? It ensures that there's checks and balances. It ensures that there's some safety there for the organization. And so here's the why, okay? Here's kind of what set us up. We've been thinking about some changes really for a couple of years, but we've just kind of let it percolate, so to speak, and we've been waiting on the right time. Here's the issue that we're facing. These bylaws were written 30 years ago, and 30 years ago, the church looked very different. Who was a part of the church 30, if not this, any church 30 years ago? You were actually part of this church 30 years ago. The church looks very different than it did 30 years ago. 30 years ago, this church and the bylaws it was written for was one location and one service, and it was very easy to accomplish any of these things because it was just one group of people. They didn't have to, you know, work hard to gather, you know, everyone. So, for example, today our Cuesta campus is not joining us for this special business meeting. We have several people up there who are members, but they live 4 hours away, all right? So the idea, hey, why don't you drive down to Albuquerque, you know, just spend the weekend so we can have this business meeting, just really doesn't make sense. The other part is just with 2 services, right? Do I have any 9 a.m. people that came back? Oh, yeah. Listen, that's the committed people right there, because they came, they left, and they came back. That's something serious, okay? So Even in that, here's what's interesting is some people, the only people you might know is the people that you worship at the same time and maybe even the same section, right? Have you noticed that it's getting more full as well? Isn't that exciting? One person got mad today and told me, his name's Jacob Pointer, and he was like, who is sitting in my seat? No, he was 100% joking. But you might feel that way lately. It has been full, second service especially, and it's exciting. It's just so fun, right? But here's the deal. How do we engage, right, a 9 a.m. group and an 11 a.m. group and another campus? And, you know, how do we continue to do this? And what we're realizing is that the system that was created was a great system, but it was a great system for 30 years ago for the church that existed then. But it's really not working for the current church. Now, we've gotten really creative, and we've made it work, okay? I'll tell you, for example, last year, our state of the church, we had a 9 a.m. meeting where people signed in. We had an 11 a.m. meeting where people signed in. We had a Rio Rancho meeting where people signed in. And we had a Cuesta meeting where people signed in. We took all four sign-up sheets, and we put them all together to establish who was there and what the quorum was. And we took votes at all four of those. So, for example, it meant this. It meant that when the meeting was over, we actually couldn't announce the results of the vote because I had to go find out what the results were at all of the other places. Does that make sense? And I just don't think that's a good way for us to run an organization. Here's kind of the vision part of it, is that I really want, this is the word that keeps coming in my heart, I want us as an organization to be what I will call nimble. I want us to be able to respond quickly to what God is leading us without getting bogged down in red tape. Does anyone like red tape? Anyone? It's right now we have red tape. Now, it wasn't intended to be red tape, but it has become red tape. So what we've been doing, and we passed out a couple of things. Did everyone get these? Or if you didn't and you need one, just raise your hand, and we can have some team bring these to you. So I wanted to give this to you in writing so you can see it. But here's what I'm asking today, is I'm asking us to make 7 different decisions that really represent 3 categories, because we're not doing anything with the pastor category right now, because it really is irrelevant. But I want us to look at these 3 categories, and because of the way the Constitution and bylaws are represented, we have it's 7 different votes, okay? Because we have to do it in the Constitution and in the bylaw. We have to do a bunch of different things. Now, truthfully, I'm hoping by the time I finish explaining this, I'm hoping that we can simplify it into 1 vote and then get you home and get me to my nap. That's kind of what I'm hoping. But we'll do whatever we need to do. I do not want you making this decision under compulsion. I don't want you feeling, you know, like I bribed you with pizza, okay? I mean, I did, but I don't want you to feel, you know, like you have to do that. I want you to understand this, and really, I'm hoping that you're with us in it, okay? So let's walk through this. So the Constitution and bylaw changes, okay? So let me just tell you, and that way, if you don't know what this means, you'll know. So the first one has to do with a governmental change. So right now it says the government of the assembly shall be vested in the membership. Now that means all of you that signed in, you're members. So it means the government is entrusted to you as members. You have to make the decisions because you've been given the authority. So on the right, what we're suggesting is that we would change it to say the government of this assembly shall be vested in the officers. So the officers would be myself and the board members. So essentially what we're doing, this is the first decision, because it establishes the rest of the decisions, is we're saying, you know, let's not define, now you we'll still have membership, and we'll still have things like Discover Class, and we'll still have lots and lots of ways for you. Here's a word I like better. I want you to be an owner, not a member. Right? I don't want you, like, we're not giving out member cards, right, that you can. I want you to be an owner. I want you to be all in. Owners are all in, okay? Owners are like, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm here, I believe, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm, you know, you're all in. That's what an owner does. This decision doesn't change that in any way. It simply changes the way that we do the governmental decision. So what we're saying is, let's move the governmental authority from this group of people that are spread out across the state and across services, and let's shift that, quite honestly, to the group of people who are probably best qualified to make those decisions, because you have to understand, as a board, we're meeting at least once a month. We're looking at the financials on a regular basis. They're helping me. They're reviewing contracts, and they're constantly in the details of what's happening at Harvest. And so I just honestly think it's a better way for us to move the needle, so to speak. So let me just keep going. I will give you a chance to ask questions. So if you have a question, just write it down, because I do want to get to that. The second one has to do with property. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but right now, all real property is deeded into the assembly. That all stays the same. And then anything purchased, sold, leased, mortgaged, or disposed of, that has to happen through a vote of two-thirds of the voting membership. So what we're saying is, we don't want to get bogged down in that. We want to say, let's just do two-thirds of the officers. In other words, the board would have the authority to make those decisions. Now, without telling you too much, okay? Without telling you too much, you're smart, you're going to read between the lines, and you're going to figure some stuff out, and that's okay. But our vision that we're going to announce in March is going to require some financial decisions to be made. And this is where it kind of gums up, is that if every time we have to make a new financial decision, we have to call one of these meetings, right? Because if it doesn't happen at the annual meeting, then we have to call a special meeting, then it just becomes very cumbersome. Now, hear my heart. I am not in any way, or we as a board are not in any way, trying to keep you in the dark. We're not trying to grab power, right? Like, it has nothing to do with any of this. It really has to do with, can we respond to what God is asking of us in a timely manner, in a nimble manner? Can we do that? And you'll see on this other, some of you got ahead of me on the Q&A or the FAQ, one of the questions is, you know, how do I have ownership if I can't vote? How do we protect against a misguided board or a pastor? Can I just help you? Those currently exist. That risk currently exists. That the pastor or board could become misguided and could go, you know, kind of off track. This, in my opinion, this doesn't change it. But what it does is it allows us to make decisions a little bit easier, faster, more timely. The third one has to do with amendments. This means, any changes to the amendments, again, we're saying, let's not vote on it as a big group. Let's vote on it as officers, okay? And then I'm going to keep going. If we need to come back, I promise you we will, okay? The fourth one has to do with defining membership, okay? So as you can tell right now, there's voting members, associate members, inactive members, right? There's these categories. And what we're saying is, there would be voting members who would be the board, and there are non-voting members, which would be everyone else who, you know, who's committed, right? Who's all in with Harvest. It's just a definition change, and that's done to support the other changes, okay? If I'll keep going, number five, elections and nominations. This has to do specifically with the church board. As we're saying, you know, let's not ask the whole church to vote on the board. So again, how fair is it, right, for a group in Cuesta to be voting on board members that they don't even know, right? I mean, they don't know them at all, right? How fair is it, you know, in the 9 o'clock service? There's all these variations. So we're saying, let's give the authority to the board to be able to manage that, right? We're going to add board members as needed. Every year, I talk with every board member, and I say, hey, is this still working for you? Is this still the right season for you? You know, and every once in a while, someone will say, you know, I think my season for this is over. I need to step off for a little while. And so we'll do that. And then we say, all right, we need to replace one. And I'll just say this. I love our board. I love our board right now. I've I love our dynamic. I love praying with them and dreaming with them. I love how they try to keep me in line. I mean, I just, it's so much fun. And I think we have a great board, and I feel confident in this shift that we're proposing. The sixth one has to do with finances and property rights. This has to do with the authorization for purchase or sale of real property. Number seven, I think I skipped something because you're like, oh, we already did that one. Well, that one was in the Constitution. Now we have to also change it in the bylaws. Okay, it gets super complicated. And then the last one is, again, the amendments. So to make amendments to the first one was the amendments to the Constitution. Now we're saying to make amendments to the bylaws. Are you following me? Are you with me? I do see a few eyes glazing over. And that's what happens when you dig into these. I'm telling you, they're super exciting documents. It's pretty awesome. So in a nutshell, we're saying let's position ourselves to do church in a way that supports our current structure. Right now we're trying to fit into a structure that really doesn't fit. Right, and so we're saying let's change that so that it fits who we've become. Right, I believe that a healthy church is a becoming church. It's always evolving. It's always growing. It's always changing. And so I'm just saying let's create the structure to support who we. This is already who we've become. Right? We have multiple services. We have multiple locations. That's not going to stop. We're going to keep going as God leads and provides. And let's just continue to do that. And so that's the changes that I'm proposing that we make. Now, we are recording this primarily just so we could go back and make sure we get it, the minutes right that sort of thing. If there's questions, I have a microphone because we want to make sure we catch it in the recording so the whole thing makes sense, okay? So, Jace, would you help me with this? I want to open it up to questions, and if you have question, if you'll wave, Jace will come to you, and go to Dan real quick because I think he's going to clarify something because he's a board member and this is what they do. All right.
So, something to keep in mind is that we are a corporation. We're a corporation. We're incorporated in the state of New Mexico. We have responsibilities, you know, the amendments, the bylaws. These are things that we have to do as a corporation.
Yeah.
And what corporation is run from the ground up? You know, if you think about that, you know, very few can be. It takes a very special organization to be able to run, you know, to run that way. It takes leadership to run corporations and businesses. And yes, we are a business. We're a church. We're a community of people. But our purpose is to be here to serve you for years to come. You know, we're talking about the generations that are coming next. And so the plans that we make as board members and leaders of this church are for the future of this church, not only for today, but for down the road.
Thank you, Dan. I know Tom had a question.
Thank you. So my question can also be in the form of a comment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. My comment is I object. I think taking the power of decision-making away from the majority of the members of the church is basically wrong. You talk about a two-thirds majority of the officers of the church. You're looking at potentially five of seven people. I would like to make a point that if you have a problem with the Cuesta campus and you find it cumbersome, less than nimble, and you want to be lean, then you should change the status of the Cuesta campus with one of these bylaw changes. For instance, they could become non-voting members. They could be voting members in their own assembly, only if you find it to be, as you stated, cumbersome. I find it particularly distressing that in one of these requested voting actions that It is proposed that we take let me check my notes here. Excuse me. I found it. That we take amendments to the bylaws of this assembly and put that in the hands of five members of the officers. The bylaws specifically should not be decided by that small a number of persons. So if any other peoples agree with me and object, please make your voice heard. I think that proceeding at this time to make these large changes in the bylaws is wrong. Thank you.
Great. Tom, thank you. You may or may not know this, but Tom served faithfully on our board for many years. He was part of the board when I was elected and served several years there. And quite frankly, Tom and Priscilla care more than the average person at Harvest. And I mean that. They care deeply. And here's the other thing I want you to know is I'm kind of strange this way, but I like disagreement because I think it makes us better. I think what the church should thrive at is disagreeing and doing so in love. And I really mean this. Tom and Priscilla, we've disagreed in love on lots of things, and that's, I love it. I love that, and I genuinely mean that. So thank you for bringing that up. Let me respond to a couple of things. I was just making a couple of notes to help me remember. The idea to, for example, make Cuesta inactive members could happen. It's within the realm of possibility, but it's not one that I'm willing to do. I'm not willing ever to take any part of our family and say, you know, you don't count as much as the rest of us. I'm just not willing to. Now, they're much smaller at this point, but the other thing, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what other campuses we may have in the future, and I just think that's a bad precedence to have. So that's just my response to that. The other thing, and this is where I'm just going to lay down the truth for you, and I can do it because you are the ones who stayed. You're all in. You care more than the average person, okay? The church today cares far less about the church than the church of 30 years ago. The idea of removing, I'm using your word, Tom, the power from the members. Okay, so first of all, and I've been very careful, and this is probably just semantics, but I'm using the word authority. I think power is a ladder word, if you think about today. Power is the peak, and we push everything down, and I don't think you meant anything. I'm clarifying for our position, this isn't a power move, but it is, and I do think it's different. There is an authority. I believe that the local church, that the authority given by God is given to the local pastor, and then I think that that authority within great accountability, which would be the governing board, I think when that set of people can operate in the right way, I think that's when we are the healthiest, okay? Now, here's the reality. I grew up in this church 30 years ago. I remember the business meetings. I was in almost every one of them. I was there as we made decisions. I can tell you the history. We started in what's now the student center. Eventually, we were growing. We voted to expand, and we built where the kitchen is now, that whole back area, right? The church voted. People cared. I mean, all right, people cared. Like, they showed up for a business meeting. It was on a Sunday night. People came back on a Sunday night. I'm telling you right now, if we did a business meeting on a Sunday night and I didn't bribe everyone with pizza, we'd be hard pressed to get people back. It's just, we're busy, we got stuff going on, and I'm not trying to be mean, it's just a reality that people care less. And I remember those days, every step of the way, we made decisions. But here's my other pushback, okay, is if, let's just say, because one of the categories, I erased it, one of the categories is a financial, if we're going to make a financial decision, okay, my question, rhetorically, is how equipped are you, the people who care the most about Harvest, to truly make a financial decision about the church? Not because you're not qualified, but because you're not in the details. How do you make a loan decision or a purchase decision or a sell decision without having the full picture? The reality is the only people, not because we're trying to be secretive. I mean, you come ask a question, we'll peel the books open, we'll look at it. We don't operate that way. And if you've been here at State of the Church, we hand out the financials. We're like, hey, look, let's celebrate, right? But I think it's also about who is the best situated to make those decisions. And I believe that it's the board. And so that's just my response to that. Jace, Mitch has a question right back here.
I just have a statement, kind of, I guess, to piggyback and on both people's comments. There's a statistic that Pastor Jason's put out when I attended Sagebrush years ago. Pastor Todd had put out as well that less than 10% of the people in today's congregation of any church tithe. And so I find it interesting that we would be arguing the fact that if less than 10% of the congregation tithes, why then does 100% have a say in where the money goes? So I think this is what we're trying to get at, in that if we are electing board members, we're stating that these people are all in. They understand the voices. They've made these kind of commitments. And then collectively, they take the best interest of the church and spearhead it for all of us. And I imagine that most of the people in here, you guys are more committed, as Pastor Jason's saying, than others. But I just would like us to think about that.
Great. Let's go across here to Jen. I can't let spouses talk right after each other. They might fight. Go back to, I'm teasing. I just.
So I just had a quick question. Are we still going to be holding the State of the Union annually as we always have done, so that the church is continually aware as a body of what is happening behind the scenes and what we are exactly entrusting our board to handle for us?
Absolutely. Great question.
Can I
answer that one?
And then yeah, go ahead.
So awesome question. Absolutely. I think most of you would agree we operate in with tons of transparency. Yeah. It is killing me right now to keep a secret until March, because all I want to do is tell you. Okay, it's all I want to do. We're not going to even wait until State of the Church to share. Right, when things happen, that's when we're going to talk about it. Right, and here's the reality, and this is so important to me: is voting or not voting. Okay. Here's how people vote in a church. Let's just be real. It's not at an annual business meeting. It's by showing up. Yes. It's by serving. It's by tithing. It's by going all in.
Yes.
So the reality is we're going to have to work harder to keep people on board with the current vision than if we just ask for a simple vote, okay? Voting is easy. I mean, that yay, nay, hand, ballot, whatever. That's the easy part. So the reality is I think our job is even harder, but I want that. I want to involve you in our vision, and we're absolutely going to do it. But we still will do State of the Church. I'll still call it State of the Church. It won't act as our annual business meeting because the membership has now changed, but it will still be the same format of look what God's done, look where we're going, and look what's happening, right? It'll still happen. Part B of your question.
Okay, so then that would require, so basically then ratifying all of these things will then eliminate the need for an annual business meeting among the membership because
Correct.
The voting is all transferred to our officers.
Correct.
So I know that there is concern. Is there, rather than holding one 7-point vote at a single time, is there a way to, if there's people who are stipulating or worried about a certain element, such as being able to approve the officers as a church membership,
yeah,
we and can, still hold that rather than letting the board choose themselves?
We can absolutely vote on them separately.
Okay.
So, and if what I'll do when we get to that point is we'll kind of take a pulse and see if we feel like we need to do that. I'm fine with doing that. I'm also trying to just you know, get you out of here and not keep you all afternoon, but we'll do whatever needs to happen. So Ashley had a question or a comment.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it sounds like some of the things that Tom had brought up, it all comes down to being heard. And I feel like if we as members of this church may not feel like we're being heard, then we should try and come up with a solution to be heard. I think that I've never been on any board. I've never been in any kind of position of authority here, but anytime I've had suggestions or ideas, they've been heard, and some have been actually implemented. So I think that it boils down to trust, and that we trust our board members and Jason and everyone on staff that they're doing the best that they can and taking the church's best interest in mind without us knowing all the details. And we can't. It's just not possible for us to know that. Yeah. So that's just something to consider.
We just pass it straight to Stephen right there. It's okay.
So I do have a question as far as this first government article change. You did go over changing it from membership to officers, but you did not go over the second part of that where you want to change from active members to just members. Why are you wanting to change it from active members, and what constitutes that?
So, is this the one we talked about, Guy and Dan?
If you go to the second page, we leave active in there.
Yeah.
The first one we took out, I think it's just more of a semantics than it is.
Yeah. One, truthfully, we could put it back in.
Board members or officers are going to be active because they're...
Because they're officers. Yeah. So
okay.
I don't mind at all putting it back in. I think you're right. There's a, you're not going to be an officer here without being an active member. So we could put it in if we feel like that's a safety there as well. And then Dan,
answer that.
Yeah, so we do the mic just so we'll have it.
Sure. Part of that we realized, or I realized just a moment ago, is that it's what that's speaking to is voting. So it's of all the officers. So without saying all the officers, it's just saying the officers.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Two-thirds of the officers are required for a vote. Is that right? Is that how it reads?
Well, it says all officers shall be members of this assembly.
It just seems to me like in that wording that it could be someone that is a member of the church but moved out of town, moved out of state, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just
a
little different. One thing other that I wanted to say is that if you become a board member of this church, I believe that there is a strong calling from God to you saying that you're going to take up this responsibility, because it is a huge responsibility to be a board member of any organization, let alone a church. So it's a strong calling from God for Jason, who possibly is the one that appoints nominees or whatever. It's a strong calling to the person whether they're going to accept the nomination and accept the position. If you can't trust what God is calling people to do to make decisions for this church, then there's other issues other than that.
These guys had a question. Let me add something real fast. So part of our, I'll come back over here. Part of our process also has been to research what other multi-site churches are doing. I just figure why reinvent the wheel? Multi-site churches, the only reason multi-site churches are still using this system is because they're like us and they started, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and that structure just hasn't changed. Any multi-site church that's been in the last 5 years, the structure is looking more like what we're proposing. I'm not at all trying to say, well, they're doing it, I'm just saying we've done a lot of research around what is the best governmental structure for a church that has the calling that we have, on ourselves, and we've tried to learn from that. So I just wanted to add that to it. Jeff or Rena?
Just real quick, on the back of your fact sheet,
yes,
it talks about the New Mexico Ministry Network.
Yes.
How much authority, if we're talking about giving all the, I guess, your power out of, for lack of a better word.
Authority.
If we're giving all the authority over to the board, how much authority does the ministry network here, the AOG, have over the church? If something would go wrong, what are our choices?
So let me give some background to help make sure we're all at the same place. So we're part of a denomination called the Assemblies of God. There's about 100 Assemblies of God churches in the state of New Mexico. The network office is here in Albuquerque. And so that's what is being referred to when it says New Mexico Ministry Network. I know y'all know that, making sure everyone else knows that. Here's the interesting thing about the Assemblies of God is that we operate as sovereign churches, okay? Now, there's a path. You have to meet certain requirements, okay? And so we have, you know, we have this New Mexico Ministry Network is kind of this hub, and we're over here, and we're Harvest, right? But then over here is Grace Outreach in Rio Rancho, and over here is Evangel, right? And over here, right? All these different churches, right? And the reality is we all have a common belief system. We have some common things, like part of what they provide for us is a campground that we collectively own, right? So it's down in Ruidoso. It's where we send our kids and our youth. It's amazing. You should totally go, and we'll pay your way if you want to be a counselor, by the way, at kids or youth camp. And Lisa will hug you as well, especially if you're a man, because men are hard to convince to take a week off work and go to kids camp. So we have our campground. We have things like fine arts that's coming up in March. Our students will participate in that. We have statewide missions trips. We have all these things that the network provides. And one of the things that they provide is that when a church gets in trouble, which happens more often than we probably care to admit, especially out of 100, that the network is there to assist in that season. I can tell you that prior to Lisa and I coming, this church was in a trying time. This board asked for help. The network stepped in and provided much needed leadership in that time. And truthfully, we have them to thank in many ways that we're still here. Okay, I'll give you another example. They have a loan program. So you don't come to these unless you want to know all this stuff, all right? They have a loan program. We have our loan with the New Mexico Ministry Network, okay? It's about $385,000, okay? When we got here, it was like 500-something thousand, right? And here's what I learned when Lisa and I became the pastors here. I'm looking over the financial statements, and I'm like, something's not right here. There's no mortgage payment. So I asked. The guy was secretary at that time. I said, hey, how are mortgage payments being made? He said, they're not. He said, we haven't made a mortgage payment in 2 years. The church had gotten so small, and so it was a trying time. So what they did is they went to the network and they said, can we have relief while we try to get back on our feet? Can I just tell you that if you go to U.S. Bank or Wells Fargo Bank or any other bank and you ask them that, they're going to laugh at you, right? So they went to the ministry network and they said, listen, just take as long as you need. We're going to help you. We'll get you back on your feet. Interest continued to accrue, but we weren't in danger of losing our building. That's a huge value to being part of the ministry network. So here's all that. I felt like I want to make sure people knew. Here's the reality, Jeff, is that this doesn't change anything about our relationship with the ministry network. We're still a sovereign church, meaning our decisions don't affect any of these other churches. Their decisions don't affect our church. But the other part, the ministry network can't just bully their way in here. Now, they want it, but they can't. They can't just show up one day and say, hey, give us the keys. We're taking over. There's too many protections on their side and on our side. But there are triggers, okay, that if we got into trouble, and there's a bunch of those, there's a bunch of ways that if we got into trouble, they would be required to step in. This decision doesn't change any of that at all. And that's a long way to say there's a lot of checks and balances. One, the first layer is with the board. The second layer is with that ministry covering. And that really doesn't change at all. Good? Okay. Let's go back to Priscilla. She's been waving. I'm trying to get it back over, Priscilla, from this side of the room. These guys are hogs over here. They want the mic.
it's just not fair that I'm a woman. Anyway, I can see a lot of things that maybe the board needs to make decisions on, and I trust you and the board. I love you, Jason. I've known you forever. However, I believe that, as Dan said, a corporation is run by a board. However, I believe that the church is not a corporation. I believe that we are stockholders in the church. Mm-hmm. And when you have a corporation that's run by stockholders, the stockholders do have some input. And you have a vote. There are certain things that I think the board is very capable of doing on their own and making the decisions for. However, I believe that there are many things that the people of the congregation should have an opinion and say so. I don't think that any corporation, any church, any organization should give all the authority to just a small group. I just think that's wrong. I think it's dangerous because authority in just a small group sometimes gets out of hand. I'm not saying that you would, but and if you can't decide on who's going to be in that on that board, who's going to be making the decisions, if you don't have an opinion on that, if you don't have input on that, it's just going to be too one-sided. It's unbalanced. I believe that the only one with total authority is our Lord. Absolutely. He's the only one that has all the authority. But he has given us all a free will to make decisions on certain things. And I think we should be given that opportunity to express and to give our opinions on certain things. And I trust you. I trust you in a lot in anything that you would want to do. But I do believe that some of these, I don't believe that everything should be given to the board. I believe that some of the things can be done very well. And there are certain things that I wouldn't want to do that I know that you can do. But I do believe there are certain things that need to have a vote from the congregation. And I believe that voting is not such a hard thing to do. If the millions of people in the United States can vote on the president, our church can do the same thing. You can devise something that's going to help the people vote and make a decision. There's a lot of things you can do to get everyone's input, and it could work.
Yep.
That's awesome. What I believe.
Thank you, Priscilla. I'll say it again. Well, I think someone else said it, but I'll say it. Your input matters greatly. It matters greatly today. It matters greatly whether we're voting or we're not voting. It matters. So many of you have my cell phone number. So many of you have my email. So many of you, like, I'll say it this way. Generally speaking, as a church, you're not afraid to share your opinions with us. You have many opinions. If you don't share them with me, you share them with Lisa, okay? And we take, I mean, here's the reality. Your opinions have helped shape who we have become. We don't do all of them. We can't do all of them. And our job is not to make all of you happy either. So we don't do that. But I just want to say, I don't think you were, I'm just taking the chance. I want to say that your opinions matter greatly. Now, I want to give you some history, because I think this also matters. And this is just, there's things behind the scenes you don't know unless you know. Yeah, you don't know unless we talk about it, right? So, like you talked about, and there's a valid point in maybe the members elect the board. That way, at least we know the right people are on there. So this is the history, okay? The last 6 years, okay, every single time we voted on board members, okay, because there's a process that's outlined in the bylaws, right? The process is we have to announce it a certain number of weeks in advance. We have to give you the chance to nominate, right? Then we vet the nominations. Then we come back and we vote on those nominations. I'm just telling you, 100% of the time in 6 years, like I think the history is important, there were the same number of nominees as what was presented to the congregation. What I'm saying is, it's not as if there was a wide disparity among the members of who should be on the board. Every single time, in fact, I'll make it more narrow. If there were two positions, there were two nominees. Sometimes I was kind of like worried, like, we need another nominee, right? And the reality is, we don't want to just force, you know, someone into the board, right? I mean, you got to get the right people, but it's not as if there's these big disagreements, like this section, you know, is voting for, you know, Mike Flanagan, and Aaron is campaigning, so this one is voting for Aaron, and Nick, you know, like, that's not at all how it works. And so I 100% hear. In fact, I've asked these same questions. I've wrestled with the same questions, and I 100% hear you in it. This is where I've landed, and our board has landed. This is where we've settled. We're seven humans. We're not perfect either. But I don't know that things are any worse because of this decision. You can feel that way, and some others may, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I invite that disagreement. So, were you waving at me? By the way, while he's walking, here's the other interesting fact: is finding biblical support for structure in the Bible is extremely difficult. Our current structure is not biblical. Our current structure is not, you know. I mean, casting lots might be closer to, you know. And so, and I just say that because it's hard. I mean, it's hard to figure out the best governance for a church when Jesus did not, I mean, he said some things about his church, but he didn't give us a constitution and bylaws. And I wish he did, honestly, because then we'd just be the church of Jesus and we'd do it. So anyway, that's just my two cents. Rena?
Hi. I think Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keepers. Watch over your souls as those who have to give an account." I believe Pastor Jason has to give an account to the Lord for his decisions that he makes, whether he listens to God, whether he does not. And, you know, as a congregation, we can all have ideas, but none of us are going to agree. If we sit down, I'm going to have one idea. Me and Jeff don't even agree. After 41 years, we can't come to agreement. But, you know, our job is to pray as a congregation for our leaders, for who he chooses and for what he's going to do. I love that he came together. And I have to admit, there's one section that kind of makes me a little nervous. I'll let him know. Then I'm going to pray about it. And I'm going to trust God to do the work in him. He's never going to be perfect. I guarantee you, if you don't know him, you're going to figure it out that he's going to make mistakes. But no offense. But we're going to pray him through that. That's our job. So in section two, I'm kind of like this gentleman here. I kind of like leaving the active in there. But no matter what the decision is made, if I come to this church, I'm a member of this church. My job is to pray, and his job is to answer to God for all the things he does with our money, with our time, whether he's discipled us, because we don't answer to God for that. He has to.
Thank you, Rena. If you'll take it to Guy, Dan just texted me, and this is a good point, because a lot of this comes down to communication, right? Like, are we going to just railroad, you know, you into things? No, we're not going. We never have, and we're not planning on it now. But it is about communication. And Dan helped me to remember in like the amendment change. It says notification of the approved amendments shall be made available to the assembly within 2 Sundays after the approval. So now you could read that one way and say, yeah, you're telling us about them after the fact, and you could kind of get your feelings hurt. Or you could go, well, obviously, obviously they're not trying to pull the wool over our eyes. There's communication that is being prescribed for this. And again, the reality, I'm just telling y'all, if I stood up Sunday and made next Sunday and made some, you know, just crazy announcement like, hey, after last week's meeting, we have the authority and we just signed a contract to sell this building, and Lisa and I are going to take that money and we're going to move, you know, to Hawaii permanently to start Harvest Hawaii, right? Like, you would rise up in arms, right? You would know after the fact, but the problem is you would still have time for something to happen because you don't vote with a vote. You vote with your participation and your giving and your serving and all the, and the whole thing would fall apart. That's not happening. We don't even want to do that. We love Albuquerque. I just was trying to be outlandish to prove a point. Guy.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And really, I think this meeting, I just want to stand back here so I can see everybody. This meeting really is a testimony of where we're going and what we want to do. First off, I say that I am in favor of the amendment changes. And my background is I've been on the board of this church for over 20 years. I'm not currently on the board. I'm just a regular guy sitting in the seat now. But I do have a lot of background and am responsible for some of these bylaws as they stand today. So, but I also have 100% trust in Pastor Jason and Lisa and the board. I have served on the board. I have been there. I have had to make decisions, and I agree with what Stephen and Renee said about God has called us. And I can tell you that the board itself is pretty much self-governing. We look at each other in the eyes around the table, and we make sure that we're on the level. We make sure that we're going down the right path and that each one of us checks the other, and we pray for each other. As Rena said, that's the first thing we do before every board meeting. I think this church also has a history of transparency. I don't think that these changes will change that. I think that those things that the board and that the pastor wants to do, they are going to make those announcements. And they do take the inputs to heart. And it's not something that, you know, once it's once and done and we're going to move on and we don't care what you say, that's not going to happen. And as Dan pointed out in the thing, there is the notification. Also, I would like to speak to the authority with the New Mexico Ministry Network. I was on the board several years ago, and I personally went to our senior pastor, network pastor, and said, we have a problem. We need to make changes. And they supported us 100%. And Pastor Jason is correct. I hadn't thought of it, but we may not be here as Harvest today had the network not stepped in and asserted their authority, open authority that we welcomed, and helped us through the process. We were not a healthy church. The 2 years no mortgage payment was just a small portion of that. So I can tell you that the network ministry is there for all of us. If any of us have concerns about what is going on in any of our churches in the network, there's an open door policy down there where we can go and express our concerns. And again, I say that I am in favor of these changes based on those particular things that I just mentioned. So thank you.
Thanks, Guy. By the way, just kind of interesting, I'll be in a meeting at 6 o'clock tonight with the other pastors in our section for the New Mexico Ministry Network to discuss a structural restructure. So they have their constitution and bylaws, and it is currently being restructured, and it's the same thing. It's except theirs are more than 30 years. Ours are 30 years old. Theirs are 50 years old, I think, is that the structures have, in my opinion, have to flex with the current conditions. The Bible doesn't flex. The truth doesn't flex. I'm not saying that, so just don't go misquote me. But the structures have to flex with the times. Things are different today than they were 5 years ago, right? 10, 20, 30, the further out we go, and I'm just, this maybe this is a pet peeve, but the church has had a tendency, Big C Church, to become outdated very quickly. I think we can do better than that. I really do. Structure is just a piece of that. I mean, there's so many more things to that. But I think we owe it to the world to have great structure to support the best vision on the planet and the best king on the planet, right? I think we owe it to him. So, Stephen?
One more question. What is the terms of board members? How long do they serve? How do they, is there a limit on how long they can serve? Do they have to be re-voted in?
Yeah, so we have 6 board members. They're on alternate years so that we don't ever have a weird year where, like, we lose everyone all at once. I think they're all, I think it's that there's 4 2-year terms and 1 3-year is what I believe that it is. And there's not a limit on terms. That's something we changed a couple years ago, and that was just because often it takes you the first couple of years to really figure each other out and for the board member to really get their hands around what's happening, and so by the time they become the best board member, it's like, oh, sorry, you got to get out of here, you know? So we made that change, and I think maybe that's important to note, is that this is not the first time we've made constitution and bylaw changes. Several years ago, we made a set of changes. We did it on a Sunday at State of the Church. You know, we did all of that. And I think those changes made us better. We're here again. I think we constantly have to be reviewing it. So that's that. Anyone else? Right here, Mike Pittman. Oh, you turned off. Oh.
Hello.
Hey.
I want to make a comment. In my former church, I was a board member for many, many years. We started as a membership-led church when we first began as a church. We made the change to the board-directed church several years later, and for us in that church, in that situation, it worked tremendously. We had a board of fully accountable gentlemen that were all very transparent in everything that they did. They did present their decisions to the church, and then the church did vote the board members on. So the church had fully vested in these gentlemen. And during the process of being nominated and being elected to that position, we had to present ourselves to the front of the church, and we were introduced to the church, and we had to basically say our story and tell the church why we would make a good member or why we thought we would be nominated for that. So anyways, I do support this decision because of the fact that my experience of this change from membership-led to board-led, it was a good decision for the church that I was involved in.
Cool. Mark, did you have something? You were waving earlier, but I don't know if it was just for me to get to Priscilla.
One of the things I wanted to say is that the way the church is culturally has changed. You know, people that attend church and would consider themselves members might attend church once or twice a month. 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. You know, people would have, you know, come every Sunday. So it's like almost like shooting at a moving target sometimes to get enough people, you know, for a quorum or whatever. I don't know. I'm just going to chime in on my trust for Pastor Jason. I believe, you know, I pray for him that he's not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that he would be led by the Holy Spirit to make decisions. And you know, he's a forward-thinking pastor. He keeps us on our toes. We're constantly trying to rev up our hearts to keep up with him. But I trust him. And this is not a power play. This is not about authority. This is about a vision. This is about moving on to a bigger place than we are right now.
Amen. I believe that. I can stay all afternoon till 6. I can stay till 6. I don't want to rush if there's more to talk about. That's why I was saying that.
I'm getting my workout on.
Yeah. How many steps you got today?
So if you could just clarify then, if we do vote on the board voting in the board, would the congregation still be able to nominate? I know you said, and I totally believe you because I've seen it, that there aren't the nominations. Mm-hmm. But would the congregation still be able to nominate members for the board?
I think, so here's shooting off the cuff. Board can chime in if you think I'm wrong on this. I'm totally open, way open to that. I'm not sure that we want to write that in the bylaws. When you write things in, you're held to them, and they tend to be more confining than freeing. If we feel like we need to, I will. We will. It's our decision to make. But I'm also open to the idea, if you trust us, that even though we don't have to do that, that we would do it. So that would be my personal preference. But again, I'm saying it very cautiously in case. I'm nervous about whatever we write in is what we're going to be held to.
Okay, but
on any category.
Do they already speak to that point? Do the members already are able to nominate
current
members?
Currently, so, yes.
So, but you're not proposing an amendment to that section, are you?
Well.
All I see are your Article 5.
So.
Where the board votes in the board.
Right. So right now there would be no change to that section.
So then congregation would be able to nominate board members,
yes.
As it stands.
As it stands, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Please. No, you're good.
But I understand under Section 5 that it would be the principals of the church that would elect the board members.
Correct.
Okay, so not the congregation.
Correct.
What's proposed here is to take the vote away from the people. Basically, in my estimation, that's wrong. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do feel strongly that you say the board is the best informed to make certain kinds of decisions. My statement would be that the best equipped people to make decisions are the best informed people. I think the important thing is for the church to inform the people of major decisions. Also, in a final point, I would like to say that this decision to change the bylaws definitely affects the future. It's not just our present board.
Absolutely.
It's not our present pastor. It's the future of the entire church. You're changing bylaws. Be careful.
Absolutely. This is a huge decision. We've been working on it for 2 years. We know it's a big decision. At one point, we tabled it. Who had their hand raised? Jace, we come right back here to Desiree. At one point, we completely tabled it because we knew how big of a decision it was. But we feel like we're as far as we can go, and it's time for that discussion. Desiree?
In voting, will this be anonymous? I know most voting, we vote
today,
verbal.
Today?
Yes.
We are ready. My preference would be verbal, simply because it's faster, but we are ready with ballots, that if we need to do that, we will. If we want, I'll ask in a moment, and we'll see the pulse. If we if we're going to do that, we have to divide the house, get all the members in one section, and then do 7 rounds of ballots. I'm okay with that. We're totally ready. So we were ready to go either way, depending on the pulse of how things went. Cool? Make sense? Mitch, right behind you, and then we'll come this way next.
I'd like to speak again to what Tom was mentioning. If I feel like I do a lot around here, but I can put on a good show. So if I wanted to make a run for a board, I could go to all of you and say, hey, you see what I do. Please vote me in. The board is recommending this person. However, I feel like I'd better represent you. I'd better have a voice. But you don't necessarily know my heart. You may know me from what I serve. You don't know my marriage. You don't know anything else about me personally other than what I show to you. Whereas the board, I'm trusting in them that when they get together to pick a person, they know these people intimately. They've prayed about it. They know their, they just know so much more about them than a general body would. And I also feel that if I went, you can have disruption very easy and chaos by somebody simply trying to vie and intentionally find their way into a seat through just speaking to the people's heartstrings.
Someone over here? I don't remember. I see that hand.
So I really hate doing this, but
come on.
I know. In the spirit of change, and change is good. We all know we have to change, otherwise we're stagnant. What about changing the bylaws in regards to females being part of the board? Is that a possibility in the future since we're looking at the future? And we all know that females are an active part of this church.
Oh, yeah.
of I mean, every church.
Y'all know who the real pastor is, right? we all know. Absolutely, it's a possibility. It's not what we're doing today,
right.
Just to be clear. I know you want to add. I know you have an amendment already written up, but no, I'm teasing. But absolutely, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility, for sure. That's another can of worms, too, though.
Just to get back to biblical precedent, it was the apostles who appointed the deacons to wait on tables because they were men full of faith and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They were tapped to say, come and serve. And again, as God's man, he's appointed you and the brothers there, not because of the consensus of, as we know, some people that who may not be as involved, but because this is what God was leading.
Yeah. Thank you, Victor. You're reaching your limit. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing Stephen right here. Who else raised their hand? Okay, we'll come over there.
One more quick question, and I apologize for reaching my limit.
I was teasing. We would have to vote on that,
I'm just giving
that,
you
actually.
Right back to you. currently, if you did not have a quorum here, okay, because if we didn't have a quorum here, then right now this conversation would almost be mute.
It would, 100%. We couldn't even make a decision.
Right. So if we did not have a quorum here, what's the next step to what would be the next step to passing this later? I was a part of a board before, and the quorum was 2/3 of the HOA or whatever, and then it went down to 1/3 or something like that a month later.
We would
later.
Have to try again. That would be our next step. Is
okay,
we'd have
so
to,
it would still have to be 2/3?
Another special business meeting, and we'd have to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that, so. I mean, the definition of quorum is quorum. There's not any other in our current bylaws. There's no other way out of that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's, I mean, thankfully it didn't happen, but that's what would happen, which also kind of proves the cumbersomeness.
Right. So, I mean, if we didn't have a quorum here today, then this would be mute and it would have to keep going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And if people didn't show up, then you would never get a quorum. So if you're looking to do 2/3 of the board, you have the board meeting once a month. if you're looking to buy a piece of property next door or something like that, then, you know, you get two-thirds of the vote. Trying to get people here to get a quorum otherwise to be able to buy this property, I'm just saying hypothetically, buy a piece of property, it would never happen, or that property would be off the market before you could get a meeting together.
Absolutely. That's part of it. Helen has something, and let me say this too. The bylaw says two-thirds for two-thirds. If our proposed change would be that two-thirds of the officers would have to agree for any of these decisions to be made. I think that's the right number to be in there, but I want you to know, people, that we, board, have an unwritten policy that we don't move forward on any major decision unless it's unanimous. Again, I don't write that because I don't want to be backed into a corner, but I can tell you in 6 years, we've never made a significant decision where there was not a unanimous vote. And there have been multiple times where we discuss something, I could tell we weren't ready yet, we weren't unified, and I said, we're not going to vote tonight, this needs some more time, let's keep talking and praying, and sometimes it's months before we get back to it, that this is one of those, but there's been several, and I'm just telling you that because you're not in our board meeting, you don't know, but I'm trying to help here behind the curtain. Like here's how we operate, because I think if you know how we operate, it actually increases trust instead of decreases. Helen,
I think that the bottom line is trust, Jason. It is a question of trust, and we trust you. And the other thing is, I said two things. Victor and I argue all the time about everything under the sun, but we're totally in sync.
Lisa and I never argue. I know. It's amazing. She just submits. That's the key.
Oh, I have to learn from you. I must learn from you. But
totally teasing. I'm 100% teasing. She's the boss.
I was looking for an analogy in the Bible, and it's in Acts 6:2. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
I was looking for an analogy in the Bible, and this is what it says. You know, the widows were not getting fed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Acts. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputations, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. In my way of thinking, it was sort of an analogy to what is happening now.
Yeah.
The board and you will be those 7 guys, and we trust you.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. I have to say that you care about this much more than I thought you would, and that makes me really happy, honestly. I love it. I love it, love it. So thank you. Anyone else? Frank. Frank's on our board.
Is it on? We had a couple of comments of, change is good. Times have changed, and we have to step up to it. It's with all the technology that we have, and, you adjust to those things. But, even trusting, I'm going to ask you not to trust so much in us, but trust in God and know what He would desire for you. Being on the board, it's been 2 years now, and coming to know Jason and the other board members, we have not agreed on everything, but we've concluded to come and agree in an agreement to make things good for the church. We look out for the benefit of you all and the church, of what's going to be needed. We search our hearts at this board meeting prior even, and there is a lot of discussion before a decision is made. It's not just randomly said, pastor says this, okay. No, sometimes there's been disagreements or coming together to a mutual understanding. The, Victor said, God picks you or taps you. Our church back home, I've been asked, why don't you get on the board? And I just wasn't the right time. When I came here, I was asked, and it was the right time. But in picking somebody to be nominated on the board, like I said, the pastor and the board question this individual. They know the history of this individual. They want to know what steps he's taking to be godly, a godly man, and in leadership, and someday perhaps a woman, you know. But search your hearts and let God give you that right answer. And some of you don't know the process of what's gone on before, and you're learning a lot today, and some of you could be overwhelmed with what you're hearing. But I'm trusting in Jason and the rest of the board, as well as, you know, myself, to do the right thing for this church, for this body. And March will be exciting.
I just want to share this with you. We, six and a half years ago, we were getting ready to move here, and I met with one of our top mentors, Pastor Hennessy. Many of you know him. Said, "What do you think about this?" And he said, "Y'all need to go. You need to go to Albuquerque." I was like, "Well, that was quick. I mean, how did you hear from God that fast? Like, you're more godly than me, obviously, which he is." But and he said something to me in that conversation. He said, "Jason, you and Lisa are talented individuals, and if you're not careful, you can do a lot of church stuff on your own strength. So as long as you're in ministry, make sure you're always over your head. And that way you always have to depend on God." Several of you today have commented on, you know, our pace, our big dreams, you know, trying to keep up with us. I just want you to know, I'm just trying to stay over my head. I don't ever want to get into a place that I feel like we can do it. I don't ever want to be there. It's just dangerous for me. but I think it's dangerous for us. I think we're at a crossroads as a church. I'm not even talking about this anymore. I'm just big picture. I think we're at a crossroads that the temptation is going to be to just settle in, because things are really good, really comfortable. You know, good crowd, good offering, good stuff, good outreach, good, and just, I'm just telling you, the temptation's going to be to settle, and we cannot settle. And I just want you to know that I have never felt more over my head than I do today, in every way, even this discussion. Like, this is not a discussion that we've taken lightly. I am scared to death that we're going to be the pastors that screw this whole thing up. I'm scared to death that this giant vision that we announced in March is going to be too big for us, and it's going to, you know, it's going to sink us instead of build us up. I just want you to know. I mean, I think that's healthy. I think it's the right place to be. I think if the vision were big enough for Jason, Lisa, and a board and some people in a church, I don't think our vision, I don't think it's from God. I think we're just, you know, trying to advance our own kingdom. And I just want you to know, like, I want you to know where I am. I'm so excited. I've never been more convinced that we're in the right place, but I'm also desperately scared, because if God doesn't show up, it's none of this going to work. And so that's off the topic of constitution and bylaws, but I just wanted you to hear deep, deep in my heart. It's not easy for me to tell you. I'd rather you think I got it all together, but I know you already don't think I do. So there you go. I think we're ready to vote. If you feel like we're ready to vote, just give me a yay. Okay. If you feel like we need to keep talking, say, "I need to keep talking." Not Mitch, sorry. We're gonna. So, couple of things. I'm trying to work through, because I think the process matters as much as the outcome. My intention was to vote on this as a block. Basically, we accept all of it, and that my only intention in that is to not take forever to do it, but I don't want to do that if that's not the right thing, if we feel like we might want parts of it and not other parts. My other intention was to vote verbally, again, for time, but I want to give give room. We are prepared to do it. And there, we could also do it by a show of hands if you're open to that. Typically, the reason we do ballots is maybe you don't want to know. You know, in this case, a few we already know what their vote is, so it's okay. So I'm just trying to be sensitive to that. Okay. So first of all, on the manner of voting, do you feel like we can do this with a show of hands, or do you feel like we need to do ballots? Is that a fair question? Okay. All right. I think we're going to do a show of hands. Okay. Do you feel like we can vote on the block of seven decisions, or do you feel like we need to separate it? Okay. If you feel like we need to separate it, will you raise your hand? So, nine, somewhere in there. So, we're going to separate it. Minority wins in this case because you're not going to leave here and say, Pastor rammed it down our throats, okay? I think that's important. And I honestly, those of you that, I 100% respect your thought in that. So, we're going to do one at a time, and we'll do it raising hands, and then we'll get out of here. So, can we pray? Can we pray? Lord, we started, and we asked you for wisdom, and we ask you again. There's not a one of us in this room that really knows how to run a church, how to govern a church, how to govern, because it's your kingdom. So, God, we start by just saying we surrender to you because you're the king. We surrender our thoughts and our opinions. We surrender our everything to you. What we want is for you to build your kingdom here. We want that. But we know that there has to be a system to support that here in the earth. There's just natural things that have to happen. And so, God, will you help us? Lord, for anyone right now who's not sure where they stand, we're asking that you would reveal to each and every heart the right thing for them. And collectively, we'll come to the right place. And so we ask for your help. Lord, what we want coming out of this is unity. So, Lord, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind any spirit that would try to cause disunity in not just this discussion, but the body of Christ. It's your bride, spotless bride. We don't want to mess it up. And so we're asking for your help. May we leave here today, whatever happens, unified and ready to go to war for your kingdom and to reach our city like it's never happened before. It's in your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. All right. No, not less. No, we're good. All right, so I'm just going to take my time, okay? I don't feel like I need to reread these in their entirety. If you feel like I do, just speak up and we will. So vote number one is on the Constitution, is in the Constitution, Article 7 under government. Let me point of order myself and ask board if you'll help me real quick. I'm 100% good with adding the word active to this one. I'm not sure it's necessary, but I'm okay with it. So just taking a poll, are y'all good with that? Just adding the word active, that came up in the discussion. We're good with that? Awesome. Okay. So the motion, I'll make the motion that we adopt this first change with the change of adding the word active in section 2. All officers shall be active members of this assembly. That's just smart. We want board members who are part of this church and who are active. So I'm in support of that. So I'll make the motion. It's already in there? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. So we're changing only section one, not section two. That's what was throwing me off. So we're only changing section one, not section two. Are we clear on that? Are there questions? Are we good? Okay, is there a second? Okay, lots of seconds. All those in favor, we're going to raise hands so we can be clear. I'm not going to count unless it's close, okay? All those against, if you'll raise your hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, the yeses have it, way more than 2/3. Decision 2, constitution change, article 11. Do Roman numerals throw anyone else off? I have to really stop and think about it. I should have done a cheat sheet today. So article 11, property. We're moving it from the assembly to the officers. I think we've had sufficient discussion. So I'll make the motion that we accept this as written. Before I ask for a second, is there any discussion that hasn't happened that still needs to happen? Okay, is there a second? All those in favor? Thank you. All those, you put your hands down. All those against? Okay, the yeses have it. Change 3. I don't know what Roman numeral that is, but it's the 14. Thank you. Y'all, I'm not even joking. Who uses Roman numerals anymore? I mean, let's just be honest. This is the amendments. Amendments to the Constitution may be made rather than by the majority vote at a regular meeting to the vote of the officers. And just pointing out again that the communication will still happen, which honestly is just good leadership. but it's in there. So I'll make a motion to accept that as written. Is there a question or comment that hasn't been made? Is there a second? All those in favor? All those against? Okay. The yeses have it. I'm saying that for a recording so we can make sure to go back if we need to. Change number 4, now we're in the bylaws. So all of the first 3 were in the Constitution. Now we're in the bylaws, and we're changing the classification of members. So essentially, active members of the assembly serving as officers are voting members. And all members of the congregation that meet the standards of membership, which is in another section, which we're not even talking about, are just non-voting. So there's just 2 classifications, voting and non-voting. The voting are the officers, okay? So I'll make a motion to accept that as written. Any comments or questions that need to be, okay? Is there a second? All those in favor? Okay. Amazing how fast I can count, right? All those against? Okay, the yeses have it. Number 5, now we're in the bylaws. Elections and nominations. This has to do with the church board. A 2/3 vote of the officers would be required to elect a board member rather than a majority vote, which, by the way, well, with small number, it doesn't matter, but we didn't stay with majority. He said 2/3 of the vote of the officers. So that's what would elect a board member. So board, I'm just re-saying this, as was pointed out, that right now the nominations would still come from the members, from the non-voting members, right? So I'll make the motion. Other questions or comments that haven't been said yet? Nick?
Have you backed yourself into a corner with the terms of
So we have seven board right now. And what are you saying? Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well, they'd still be act. Yeah, good point. I knew you were here for something. Thank you. all right, so I'll make a motion to accept that. I'm looking for a second now. Thank you. Okay, all those in favor? Okay, hands down. All those against? I see that hand in the balcony. Thank you. Okay, the yeses have it. Article 5, 6, 7, 8. And this is the same decision on the finances and property, but it has to be made in both the Constitution and the bylaw. So, just so clarity. So I make a motion to accept this as written. Question or comment? Is there a second? All those in favor? Thank you. All those against? Okay. The yeses have it. Number 7, Article 10, amendments. So this is similar to a previous one, except we're saying to amend the bylaws, not just the Constitution. So amend the bylaws, 2/3 vote of the officers. And again, notifications will still be made. I'll make a motion to accept that. Questions, comments? Is there a second? All those in favor? Any against? And the yeses have that as well. Everyone take a deep breath. Thank you, seriously, thank you for not just staying, but for being involved, for caring, for being part of this church. We just love you. It is 2:33, and I'm officially calling this business meeting to an end. Second? That's right, I got to do that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Harvest, go be the church.